Good morning, listeners. We're continuing with the series Lessons for Life from the book of Daniel. Today, we're moving to Daniel chapter 3, and I will be looking at the topic, Standing Strong, Regardless of the Consequences. I will read the first 7 verses of Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide and set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he sent messages to the high officers, officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue he had set up. So, all these officials came and stood before the statue Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald shouted, "People of all races and nations and language, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instrument, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." So, at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Perhaps King Nebuchadnezzar felt threatened, you know, politically insecure. He was at the height of his power. He was a head of gold that was typified in the dream that he had, which was interpreted by Daniel some 23 years earlier. He was at the head of a vast empire, composed of many kingdoms, speaking different languages and having various religions. He knew that if a nation had to be united, then perhaps religion was the best unifying force. Such unification had probably become a political necessity. So he decided to set up a state religion, an idolatrous religion that was based on worshipping idols, as were the religions of the surrounding nations. But in doing this, he was guilty of religious intolerance, in that the penalty of refusal was death in a fiery furnace. All men are religious by nature and are easily carried away by anything that stirs their religious feelings. Nebuchadnezzar took advantage of this. Everything was done to excite and stir the religious emotions of that vast multitude on the plain of Dura. Large orchestras with various musical instruments were stationed at convenient places, and all the paraphernalia and ritualistic ceremony of idolatrous worship with the most gorgeous display of religious trappings, such as were used by the Babylonian cults, were doubtless used to impress the bystanders and get them to worship the image. To ensure the success of his plan, Nebuchadnezzar took one precaution. He was determined that there should be no lack of unity. The worship must be universal or there would be discord. An ounce of prevention was worth a pound of cure. It was best to forestall any rebellion, and so he had constructed near the image a large furnace in which a fire was kindled and into which he threatened to throw any person who would not bow down and worship his golden image. He counted on the love of life and the fear of suffering to prevent any opposition. What Nebuchadnezzar had forgotten was the absolute loyalty and commitment demonstrated by 4 of his high officials to the one and only true living God. Doubtless, the astrologers, magicians, soothsayers, and chaldeans were jealous of Daniel and his companions. Even though Daniel's statement and interpretation of the king's dream saved their lives, they were probably glad for an opportunity to seek their destruction. For we read in verse 8 to 12, "But some of the astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'Long live the king! You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the golden statue when they hear the sound of the music.' That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the golden statue you have set up. Clearly, those who reported on them had ill intent. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were prepared. They were convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt that they were doing the right thing. Their actions were based not just on their beliefs, but their convictions, those values that they were prepared to die for. When the news got to the king, verse 13 to 15, record his reaction. Then King Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods and to worship the golden statue I have set up? I will give you one chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power?" The refusal to bow down and worship the golden image or serve Nebuchadnezzar's God was open rebellion on the part of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There were high officials from all over the empire present. The king's authority was being flouted and he felt disrespected. The accusers did not miss the opportunity to point out the race of these non-compliant deviants and the fact that it was the king who had placed them in positions of power. He was therefore embarrassed and had to make an example of them. His decision was to give a chance to change their minds, challenging them as to whether their God could deliver them from his hands. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not afraid. Their position was unshakable, unyielding. Their response to the king must have alarmed him. Who would dare oppose him? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing fire, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the golden statue you have set up." Verses 16 to 18. How do we respond when our faith, the fundamental principles on which our lives are based, are questioned? When unbiblical philosophies, modernism, and worldliness seek to get us to bow at their altars? The united statement of these men should awaken in us the commitment that they expressed. They expressed confidence in the omnipotence and sovereignty of God. "We do not need to defend ourselves before you." They probably remembered the words of Moses to the children of Israel at the crossing of the Red Sea. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace." Exodus 14, 13 to 14. They had full assurance of the power of God. "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us." They stated clearly that he would rescue them, but emphasized that under no circumstances would they serve Nebuchadnezzar's gods or worship the image he had set up. There was no beating around the bush among them. They were as united in their stance as they were united in prayer when they sought God's wisdom and revelation when they faced the threat of death before. They remembered well that God came through for them and they were not about to bow to an idol or worship false gods. Again, they proved the power of unity and commitment to the truth. The story pulsates with drama and is a thrilling example of confidence and non-compromise. Christ's followers are being threatened openly and in more subtle ways to deviate from the truth today. Jude tells us, however, to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. This story in Daniel 3 as a message for our hearts and a challenge for us to stand true to the Lord and be courageous in our faith. What are the key lessons from it so far? One, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's answer to the king demonstrated confidence in their God. They knew he was able. Do we have that same kind of confidence in God? Repeatedly, the Bible tells us that God is able. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Ephesians 3 verse 20. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. We must remember, God can do anything. Second point, second lesson, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego show their assurance in God's sovereign will and purpose, even if it meant their death. Verse 18, we need to be ready for the if-nots of the Christian life, serving God when all is well, and he's answering our prayers as we want is one thing, but what about those other times? Do we have the assurance of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? That is mirrored in Job 13 verse 15, where he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Christian faith is being challenged like never before. We must remain solidly anchored on the solid foundation. There is no other foundation beside the one God has provided. For other foundation can no one lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Make sure you're anchored to him and be bold in proclaiming your faith. Next week, when you walk through the fire.